There's some over here too.
Leave these girls here. Do those girls have? 我们大堂里边的那个主日学要开始了，请大家如果要是还要讲话的话，要不要到外头去啊？再继续，好吧？ Mommy 马上要开始了。Thank
you.
好，谢谢大家。
You know, when Mrs. Shi said, when she was talking about Karen, she said, people wonder where God is. You see, God does what He alone can do. When we have problems, He comes to comfort our heart. He doesn't come to feed us food. God does what He alone can do, but He looks to the church to be His hands, His feet. It's when you give a little food or you give a little support or if you give a little encouragement, this is where God is coming out of us. And this is what He really expects of us. That's why we have the fellowship of God's people. Because so He's doing what He needs to do, but He's looking to us to do the rest. And I appreciate that group. They have done wonders. They have done wonderful things to organize, to get things to help her and the family. And I certainly say I appreciate that. In fact, I feel like that's one of our stronger points in our church, that when people really are in need, they're right there with them in almost every area, staying with them, taking care of the children, sending food, encouraging them, whatever. And I thank God for a church that can do this. And that's where God is. He's in us. And He's using us. That's the marvelous thing. Well, the title today, I'm talking about, whenever I teach these next few months, about everyday life. Things in our everyday life. God is trying to... I'm going to have to get that one in my ear now. I didn't used to like it, but this one is giving me trouble. It's for a man, you see? It clips this side, and it's supposed to clip this side, and so it doesn't clip that side very well. I mean, this didn't know anything about women's liberty. Okay. And I thought today, I spoke to the women's group on Wednesday about this, so if you were there, please forgive me. But I want to use this today with our own group here. And that is, we're going to talk about something that's an everyday problem. One that we may not recognize because we have grown up and through our life, we just do it. But it has a bad effect on us emotionally and also spiritually. So when we talk about criticism, we have to sort of first decide what kind of criticism. There are times in our life when someone criticizes us and some of it is true, maybe not all of it, but some of it may be true. Now, this is the time that I, with the help of God, am able to find a truth, even in a criticism. But I notice lots of times when people criticize us with truth, it's done with an altogether different attitude. I think this will help you. Not coming to you and saying, you know, you made a terrible mess. If you had only done this. So we see that criticism, there can be good criticism. We look for that. I remember one time when I was in Antigua, we had a terrible tragedy in our church. My secretary, her husband, her daughter-in-law, and their baby were all killed in one accident. The son was injured very badly, or injured pretty badly with his leg, and they sent him to Miami. And so I was there, and I didn't know what to do. The boys had no mother now, and their family was there in Cayman. And I just sort of was waiting. And I am not a dreamer. I have to tell you the truth. When it comes to dreams, I have had very little things in my life that I can say, oh, that dream really impressed me. But there was one right after that impressed me deeply. And that was one night I dreamt that the mother, Margaret, that I knew so well, was looking at me with a frown on her face. And I thought, uh-oh, I better get to Miami. And so I got myself together and I went on to Miami. And I stayed with the boys. I mean, I was there at the hospital with them and trying to do whatever I could with them and for them. But one of my members back home, he said, Sister Schwartz shouldn't be there. She's the pastor here. She shouldn't be over there. Well, when I heard it, I thought to myself, well, he's sort of right. I am the pastor, but I'm not sure just what my duties are, whether I should be here with these boys or back home. So to me, sometimes when you get a criticism, even maybe a hard one, part of it may be true. And so you have to think about that. You can't fight against it. Accept the truth and then decide on what you must do. But so there is a good criticism. She always sort of tells me little things that really help me a lot. Now, I am a true born-again Floridian. Now, I was born in the north, and I hated the cold. So I've been in Florida now probably some 25 years or so. And to me, you don't wear jackets in Florida. You just don't. The weather's too good for that. So whenever I go out, I don't even think about the weather. I just don't wear a jacket. So Mrs. Shee said this morning, put on your jacket, telling me it's cold outside. A couple weeks ago, when we had first started these cold, you know, days, I went to Walmart, and I got out of the car, and I thought, oh, boy, the wind is just blowing through here. I said, this is chilly. Then I looked around, and not one person was without a jacket or a sweater but me. So this morning when she said to me, you better put on a jacket, I knew that was a good criticism that I better put the jacket on. But that's just fun. But what I'm trying to say is be able to take the good criticism. But then there's other kinds of criticism. Now, criticism itself is detrimental to the person. They don't realize it. But criticism can never be done in a positive way. Do you ever notice that? Criticism is a sense of a negative thinking and a negative feeling. And I want to tell you, when we are negative, it does something to our feelings. We become negative. We are negative. And negative draws us down. Can we praise when we're negative? No. So we see then that criticism itself is detrimental to us as people. It's detrimental to us in relationships. Now, people may not tell you off, but they don't like your critical attitude. They don't like that. You know, Mary's all right, but she is so critical. One wife said to me, my husband is so negative and critical, it's getting me down. And so this thing in us can truly bring us down, the critical spirit. Now, some say, is it a learned situation? Or is it, sometimes Sue Lynn will say, is that a trait? Is that what you're born with? I thought, no, these are things that we learn. We're not born criticizing. We're born self-centered. We're born wanting things, but we're not born criticizing. It's a good thing, isn't it? You mothers would have a troubled time. So we see that these are learned things. And actually, this thing of criticism can be something that is an inward problem that's coming out, manifesting itself this way. Some people, it manifests them in anger. Some other people have other ways it manifests. But sometimes when you grow up with people telling you, not in words, but the way they act toward you, you're not worth considering. We don't have to bother telling her. She don't have to know. She's, you know, don't listen. You know, pushing the person in the sense that they begin to feel that they're not worthwhile. And this is very true. And if some of you would look back and think over, you might sense that maybe you had a little bit of that. Maybe you were felt like you weren't valuable. As I often hit in the Chinese culture, it's the first son that is very, 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 very valuable. He becomes the leader. He becomes the one that when there's funerals, he pays. When there's weddings, he pays. You know, he's the big. So when from the very time he's young, he becomes a very special one without parents sometimes even realizing it. And then you have many girls and boys that feel that they don't have that kind of value. Sometimes we're not acceptable. I was growing up in a very, very strict home. And so when I was young, there were some things that my mother made me wear that everyone else didn't wear. And it was very hard on me. I have to admit, it was very hard on me. And then I was born on the other side of the track when it came to my high school. I went to the best high school in Baltimore. A lot of them were sort of wealthy. A lot of them were Jewish. But I came from the other side of the town, or the other side of the town. And you know, that affected me too. I felt that I just wasn't as good as them. I felt like I really wasn't accepted. Now, these girls were. One of my classmates is a person that developed a fuel for the space planes. I mean, they were very smart, and I wasn't too smart as compared to them. So I really did grow up not feeling quite accepted. And this has a tendency to come out through many different defense mechanisms. Then maybe it might be people that's made fun of you. I also was very large. I was at one time 240 pounds. And when I was growing up, I was heavy from the time I was 9 until, you know, I don't like to say fat, but I was fat. But I felt that. I felt it a lot. And sometimes, you know, they make fun of you when you're fat or when you're real, real thin or whatever else might be. And I found out that has its bearing on you. So I made my own defense mechanism. So ever after that, as I was growing up, before you could make fun of me, I made fun of myself. I always made fun of myself. Oh, you can see I like to eat a lot. Well, I know. I would just try to say something, and then they wouldn't say anymore. So, but that shows you that somehow in my heart, I didn't want to be put down. So I had to try some defense mechanism to overcome these things. Well, you say, Sister Schwartz, you were a pitiful person. Before God got hold of me, I was a pitiful person. I had all kind of phobias, all kind of fears. I didn't feel accepted. I want to tell you, that's why I can talk on this. Because I found acceptance in Christ. And it doesn't matter after that, as he taught me, as he strengthened me. Right now, I could care less about any of these things. If you accept me, thank you. But if you don't accept me, God bless you. You know, we have to understand that these things, though, do drive us in different areas. That's why I call this everyday life. Because we need to know under God some of the things that makes us unattractive to the world as a Christian. You see, we are the only Bible they see. We're the only one that they can see living out what God has told us to do. And when we become very unattractive in a spiritual area of our, in an area of our life that hurts us spiritually, it hinders us. So that's one area. That's one reason why. But let's look at some of the reasons, some of the smoke screens. Like I was telling you, I made up some of my smoke screens. I got the attitude, I don't care. Let them say what they, I don't care. And that attitude of I don't care is the fact that you care very much. But then you go through life saying it, I don't care. But deeply inside you do. So let's look at some of these smoke screens, because maybe you have a smoke screen. Sometimes there are people who are critical just because they think they know more than you. Just because they think they're better than you. Now, you say, well, can that be an emotional problem? Of course. It's one of those defense mechanisms where we try to show people who we are, what we are, when really inside we don't feel that way. But many times it may be that we try to show ourselves a little better, and that's why we criticize them. I see lots of that. Sometimes I think, wives, you think that you're a little better than your husbands, and so that you know a little more than them, and so you're critical about it. But this next one is the one that hits anyone who criticizes, and that is making assumptions without the facts. How many times do people criticize without knowing all the facts? And this is very hurtful and harmful, because criticism on the other side of the person being criticized can pull them down in the eyes of people that they won't be able to be the witness God wants them to be. Okay, other times it's, we want revenge for a personal offense. People hurt. I was very sarcastic. I was very good at it. Why? Because I was hurt. But I didn't have the nature of cussing you out. I didn't have the nature of anger. But boy, I could put the knife in deep and turn it well. I had a lot of criticism. I had that very sarcastic way, because my revenge was I was hurt and I hurt others. Not that I even thought that way, but that's how it came out of me. So we have to understand, sometimes when somebody has hurt us, it's very easy to criticize them because we want to get back at them. But this is not what the Lord tells us. We're to love those who give us offense. That's what makes Christianity different than any other religion in this world. He has given us the ministry of love, not of hate, not of killing, not of trying to pull myself up by the bootstraps. He has given us the ministry of love, and he wants us to be able. And when some of these things we do, we can't. We envy sometimes the success of others. And sometimes we criticize them because we really envy what they have. Or what they've done. Sometimes our smoke screen is just to shift the blame to others. Well, I didn't get that done because she did da 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 da. I didn't get this done because he didn't da 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 da. We like to criticize and put the blame on someone else. Sometimes it's just to cover up our personal discontent. We can be very discontent people. You know, to be content, to be godly and be content is great gain. We're not content with the way we look. We're not content with what money we have. We're not content by the place I live in or the job I have or the husband or wife that I have. And sometimes we criticize just to cover up that discontent. Sometimes we rebel against and resist authority because we just don't want anybody telling us to do. I've got this thing in my heart. I've been no values too long, or whatever it might be. And though I don't think it or put it in words, my very mind seems to gravitate to the fact that I'm just not going to do it. So sometimes this is what happens to those who are criticizing. And like I said, employ sarcasm as a source of humor. Oh, I'm just joking. But you weren't. What you said you meant. Oh, but I'm just joking. And then, of course, one big one at work particularly is elevating yourself by putting others down. Look how she always does this. Do you know she's always coming in late? Da-da-da-da. Criticizing. Why? Pushing them down so you can elevate yourself. Now, these are some of the smoke screens that we have that we cover up. We call them defense mechanisms, but they're like a smoke screen because I just feel like I wasn't any value, I wasn't accepted, I was put down too many times. And so those things that have been harbored deep inside, in the not in the conscious many times, but sometimes in the conscience, but in the unconsciousness of our heart, we have these things buried, and they come out. Now, suppose now that as a child of God, how am I to respond to this criticism? Now, this is not always easy, but the Lord never said serving him was going to be easy. He said they hated me, or they're going to hate you. He tried to let us know that there are some things that are very difficult, and we have some inner things about us that are very difficult to deal with. So we need to ask God for help. When we recognize we can't do it in ourselves, then he can give us strength. He will speak to you as you begin to do these kind of things, and you'll begin to say, oh, I shouldn't. Let's see what happens. Be assured that you accept others as Christ accepted you. You know, he accepted you as a sinner. He accepted you as a liar. He accepted you as a little business thief. He accepted you with your anger and your hurting people. He accepted you with maybe immoral life. But he accepted you to bring you to Calvary. So he's saying that try to accept them as Christ accepts them. He didn't like what they did, but he loved them. This is one of the greatest principles with our children, when we discipline them, when we can make them understand it's not you I don't love. I love you, but what you do, I don't love. And so when we accept them as a person, and we accept them with the love of Christ in our heart. When I went to the mission fields first time, there was a cook there at the mission home. There were several missionaries living there, and she was the cook. She was a wonderful woman. She became like a mother to me. And I used to watch her, you know, when people, they could criticize. They would come and criticize, you know. And all that Sister Michael would say, they're cute, aren't they? That's all she would say. They're cute, aren't they? Never anything against them, anything. Just let her know, you know, they're cute. And I thought, you know, she was a godly woman. She loved the Lord. She was in a place, in a mission home where people come and go, where she could have criticized, where she could have, because we had lots of faults. She could have tore down our ministry. Some have, but not her. She's cute, isn't she? He's cute, isn't he? She was accepting us as Jesus accepted us. Be open to the slightest grain of truth. If there is a little truth of what you're being told, grasp hold of it and say, Lord, that's for me. And sometimes you might even have to, well, maybe out, but you can thank, oh, thank you for that. Thank you. It makes you a deeper person. Be able to accept criticism without being defensive, without fighting back. See, this is our problem. When somebody criticizes us, we want to give it back just as hard. This is what happens sometimes when a husband and wife are having their little tizzies and she criticizes him and then he finds something else to criticize her about. Yeah, but look at you. Da-da-da-da. We'd like to give it back. But he said, don't do that. Be able to accept it. Okay. Soak it up, as they say today. Just soak it up. And let it fly off like a duck. You know, a duck has some sort of something on his feathers that the water just, you know, just goes off. It just runs off. This is what he wants. You said he's asking too much. No, he's making us a better person. He's trying to heal those problems in our life. And they'll never be healed by going over and over. Have you ever had a sore? And this doesn't sound nice, but kids do it. They pick the scab off. Hurts again. Pick the scab off. Starts to bleed again, you know? We just keep doing that, and we're just more hurt. But when God can help us to overcome these things, it's a wonderful thing. Determined to talk well of your critic. Now, I know when you have hate and criticism in your heart, almost anything that person does, you don't like. I went through that. I know. You didn't want anybody else to like them. So you would criticize them. You would talk about them. Oh, yeah, you think they're like that? Well, you ought to know them like I do. You know what they did? Da, 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 da. So we see then that we need to be able to speak well. Oh, like my sister Michael said, she's cute. He's cute. Anyway, find your own way of doing these things. Be committed to pray for your critic. Now, that's where the answer is. Lord, I know that this person is very critical, but Lord, you know their need. You know what they need. I'm praying that you'll help them. Be encouraged because God has another view of you altogether. Altogether. And it's his value that counts. I've learned that through the years as he's been rubbing me down and smoothing me off, that it's him. He's the one who gives us our values. Be discerning about the accuracy of the critical words of others. Now, I'm not sure if you can do this, to be able to say, but you know, I think you're going to have to find a little more proof for that because I don't think that happened. But we can do it in such a way that we're not going to cut them. Now, the other side of being a critical person, and that's that's not what we're to do. We are to be encouraged. This is what the Word of God says. Criticism just pulls down. But encouragers lift up. I was always thankful for those who encouraged me. There were those that didn't encourage me. It was awfully hard at times. But oh, when they encouraged me. And when they sort of lifted me up, that just gave me another sense of being wanted. So if we can learn to be an encourager, a shirt that closes like men.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. But an encourager has a humble heart, a heart that sees its own shortcomings, unless you can recognize, you know, Lord, I'm not so wonderful myself. And so I can see that other people have the same as I do. And so with a whole heart, we become an encourager. We recognize, this is me with the grace of God. Encourager has a compassionate heart. A heart that actively cares about others. That compassionate heart is not a sympathetic thing that you have. Oh, I'm so sorry. A compassionate heart may sit with you. I remember one time one of our girls lost her baby. And I went in to sit down. I didn't know what to say. That was a hard thing. And I recognized they wanted the baby. And it's not an easy thing. So I sat there and I took her hand and we cried together. I had no words of wisdom because the Lord tells us these things are hard, but we look to him. But I sat there with her and held her hand and cried with her. There is a sense that people know we are compassionate. Dorothy's grandson, Ethan, he knows it too well. Because when his mom and dad gets after him, he runs for me or Dorothy. So he knows we have compassion on him. Not that kind of compassion. Have the kind of compassion that reaches out to do something. To do something. An encourager has an accepting heart. Actively cares about others. Now, I want to tell you, there is a tendency, the phlegmatic tendency, very nice people, very lovable people, very people that can seem to do things very well, but they have a one outstanding trait. They don't care much about other people. They just don't care much about them. And it's not something that they have a reason for. It's just that they don't want to be bothered. They're sort of a laid-back type of person, and they just don't want to be bothered. And then there's those that are so hurried in life and going about doing all kinds of things. They don't want to be bothered. But an encourager is a heart that's ready to care about others. As well as being compassionate, we're ready to care about the others. Then an encourager has an accepting heart, a heart that offers a sense of security. I've heard a lot of difficult things in my life as a counselor. I remember one time I said, Ruth, Dorothy, I've got to get out of here before she confesses to murder. Then I'm in trouble. I mean, she confessed so many things, I was almost getting afraid that murder might be the next thing. But what I'm trying to say, I've heard lots of things. I mean, all kinds of things. But I have to, as a counselor under God, give them a sense that I'll keep this. I accept you with it. I'm here for you. And it's very hard. I remember one time I told her and her husband, I said, you know, I don't like what you did, but I love you. And they both just burst out crying. That's what people want. They want to know they can be secure with you. An encourager has an exhorting heart, a heart that don't wound with. I have that little boy in back of me today. He's a cute little boy. I often see him, you know, when he's. And so he was sort of putting his hand and touching me and smiling. And I thought, you know, Schwartz. And automatically, I just smiled at him and then. That makes him want to do more with me, and I get myself in trouble, you know, that kind of thing. But I thought, don't the way it sounds, but they're very sharp. When they say things, it's very sharp. And they don't even realize it. So we have to understand then that if you begin to see you hurt people, begin to ask God to help you to have words that heal. We feel like we need to do this or we need to do that. That we follow the Spirit. No, we weren't. Some of us were not raised that way. Some of us were in the house of criticism. Our parents criticized a lot. Our family criticized a lot. It's right. We're not, but this is where God is. But isn't it would be so nice to be known to be a person that encouraged. I want to be a person people accept. Thank you for this class, what they mean to us. We thank you, Lord, for all the goodness that you have given them, their homes, their jobs, their family, peace of heart, contentment. All of these things we are the benefits of serving you. So, Lord, we pray that you will just be with them in a special way this week as we make this No Criticism Week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Next week, my duo will be back. What we have done is that we've taken every other week. At first, it was going to be just when I preached. But I do preach a Sunday, but no, every other week they'll be filling in. It really helps me. It's been 3 years now, and I've never had anybody to sort of take my place. And, you know, there's only so much you can say. So I'm very grateful that they helped me out. Ready to go.